everybody, and welcome back to the Android App Addicts podcast, where we talk about Android apps, phones, and whatever else we feel like talking about. But it's called Android App Addicts, so I had to lead with that one. My name is Mark. I am your host, and I am joined by the people you're really here to see, the door-to-door geek Steve McLaughlin and the executive Eric Ardini. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How's it going? I'm glad to be back today with you guys.
We're happy you're back, and welcome everyone to the show that's name is not going to change.
Yeah.
Gee, whatever could you be talking about?
Well, I will say I'm really enjoying the discussion of the renaming of your other show on elementop.com of Everyday Linux. The last thing I'll say about it is the other reason I like your show is because you're all three, in my opinion, what I consider to be Linux-minded people. The topics don't have to be about Linux, but you're Linux-minded people, which I know that really doesn't help.
That makes sense. We go there first. Yeah.
Oh, you have ethics. You know, maybe that's it.
Ethics and Linux. They rhyme.
We actually did a whole show about the difference between morality and ethics.
And that's
legality.
That's why, and if you notice the slowdown in my voice, it's because I think it's ethics.
So, Eric, you were away on a secret mission. Can you share with the audience what that was, or should we just remain a secret?
Well, I'll keep most of it a secret. I'll give you this hint, though. This one right here.
Oh, it's upside down.
It is. This is a ViewMaster I was stuck inside of. I just had some business I had to take care of, and then we had a family crisis that had major events happening on the night of our podcast. So all of that's over with. For at least a while, and I think at least for the rest of this year, we should be making it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll say, Mark, I think I'm secretly, subconsciously trying to be you.
Uh-oh.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to stick with that one. I'm trying to be you because today's Thursday, when my wife was leaving work, she tripped down like two steps, and my wife's hand-eye coordination isn't fantastic. And when she decides to fall, something usually does not happen very good about it. She ended up spraining her right ankle and tearing ligaments in her left toe. So both legs have injuries. And I immediately thought about your daughter and hurting herself. And I said to myself, if I wasn't in a rush to pick her up, and saw the UPS tractor trailer blocking the complete entrance that I usually go in, I would have went in an earlier entrance, but I wasn't, so I had to drive back around to do a big loop and take like an extra 3 minutes to get to go pick her up. So while you blame yourself for your daughter's injury, I blame myself for my wife's injury. And then this morning on the way to work, we decided, you know, let's leave work early. That's a great idea. I like, you know, well, let's go. Okay, we left to go to work a full hour early. 5 minutes into the trip, she said, you know, I left my phone in the back trunk. I said, well, if you want, I can pull over. We can get your phone out because you're going to have to need it anyway so you can sign in as we're pulling up. She said, nah, don't worry about it. We'll stop later in the trip, which I should have stopped, but I didn't because I didn't. 5 minutes later, we're sitting at a red light like five cars deep, and we hear skid, skid, slam, crash, 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 and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I could see him coming. I was involved in a four-car collision. I was the last car to get hit. And, so I got rear-ended, too.
Well, yeah, Dorsch sent me an email, said, if it makes you feel any better, and he sent me a picture of his smashed up. No, it didn't make me feel any better at all. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that wasn't me. That was a craptastic, apparently extremely brittle Honda Fit.
Is that what that was?
I mean, it was only going, it could have only been going at the most, I would say, 10 miles an hour, maybe 12 miles an hour. And it looked like the complete front end was just gone. And I'm in a Kia, not known for being the most structurally sound vehicles on the road. And to me, it looks like I have, you know, minimal damage.
Man,
we got actually our van back. So as we were made whole, you were rendered, injured. It's the cycle of life.
But then my day got even better, Mark, because about 2 hours later, my youngest one's school called me and told me he was suspended again.
Oh.
So, but you know, a lot of people would let that ruin their day to not only, you know, to get that phone call about that and get in a car accident in the same day. Not Dorr. It's just a thing. It just happens. It's all right. I'm not mad at the guy. You may be mad at the school or the teacher. That's possible.
Well, okay. I can't be mad at the guy in doing the accident because the initial culprit was literally a young kid. He was maybe 19, 20 years old. He's young, inexperienced. I take it was just an inexperienced decision that he made. And it happened. I ain't mad at you. Just, you know, like everyone else, hopefully you learn by this and you drive better. And my kid getting suspended from school, I'm tired of being mad at anybody about that. I'm just beat down. I'm just, okay, well, we'll deal with it.
So I was a little later getting down tonight to record the show because, as you may or may not know, this Saturday is Halloween. Dory, you have young children. I know you know that. So my daughter decided to make her Halloween costume. So I was literally upstairs duct taping my daughter.
Mm.
Duct tape, yes.
She has made a princess dress, Belle from Beauty and the Beast, the big long yellow formal gown, entirely from duct tape. And she needed some help joining the last couple of pieces together, so my wife and I were helping her out.
Hey, you guys can't see this because this is not true high def. There's a tear in my eye right now. She's going to make some man very happy, Mark. That's all I got to say.
I bought about a month ago like 600 yards of yellow duct tape.
Wow.
And, you know, you look at my Amazon purchase history, and they must think that I am a craft-making, cake-baking, Android-loving serial killer based on my purchases. But yeah, I didn't even know you could buy yellow duct tape. I mean, I kind of figured you could, so I went to the Everything store, naturally, and they had it in 20-yard rolls, and I bought a bunch of them, and we only have a couple left. Huh. It takes a lot of duct tape to make a full formal gown.
Well, of course they have yellow duct tape. That's what people with beat-down yellow cars have to have.
Exactly. And she got some green and some yellow red duct tape as well to make a bouquet of roses to carry with her dress. So yellow duct tape roses and a duct tape dress. Pretty amazing what my now 13-year-old can do.
And this duct tape dress can come off and be reapplied tomorrow for actual or Saturday for trick or treat day.
Well, that's the thing we were trying to work out. yes and no. We're probably going to have to actually cut her out of it and retape her into it. Every time we need to do that. But yes, it does work more or less. The fastening was the difficult part. You can't put a zipper in it, and you can't, you know, it was making all the pieces come together that were a little difficult.
Right. But Mark, speaking of purchases.
That's a segue. Are you buying a segue, Mark? Is that what he's trying to say?
No, it was so smooth. I was intentionally just letting it drop. Just awkward silence. just today, mere hours ago, I can tell you exactly because I have the confirmation email at exactly 6:33 p.m. Pacific or Eastern Standard Time. I purchased a Moto X Pure, black on black on black, with the grip case. I really lingered long and hard over the black leather case. But then I decided if I want leather, I'll just stick a leather case on it. So that's going to be my phone of choice here in a couple of weeks. I've talked about it before. I bought my daughter a Moto G, which is the, you know, the little brother of this phone. And it's an amazing device. It's better, I think, in a lot of ways than my Nexus 5, which is, you know, a couple of years old. It was the pinnacle of devices, when it was made, or at least Google intended for it to be. And now a $250 phone outshines it in a lot of ways, particularly battery life. So I'm excited about getting its big brother, the Moto X Pure.
Nice. What size screen is that?
5.7.
Oh, that's a good size.
So it's actually a bigger screen than the iPhone 6 Plus in a smaller case. There's less bezel.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Well, they have to have room for that stupid big round button.
Exactly.
And I'll say, Mark, thank you on behalf of all stereotypical men for making the emotionless choice of black on black on black.
If I had the choice to get it with black lacquer, you know, I would have gone that. You know, the typical bachelor guy's apartment. I would have gone with that.
Piano gloss.
I don't want my phone to be a statement. I don't want it to be flashy. I don't want people to look at it and go, oh, what phone is that? It's a tool. In the same way that I don't buy, you know, flowery colored wrenches, I don't want a pink phone. I'm not interested in that. It is a tool that I use, and black is less likely to show scars and scratches and scuffs. So that's what I went with.
Hey, I don't know. I think white would be less likely. So, hey, since
I don't know, I,
No, white shows everything. You can't be working on a car. Your brakes didn't pick up your
true.
White phone.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. Yeah, I've had that on my white covers I've had. You're right.
And plus, white became cool because Apple made it cool, and that's reason enough for me to not want to do it.
Ding!
So it's a totally irrational, illogical mindset, but it is true.
Yeah.
Mark scores another point on my scale.
All right. I'm not going to brown nose door. The item I bought this week, since we're doing item bots, I'll give you a quick review on the ViewMaster VR headset. Official name is the ViewMaster Virtual Reality Starter Pack is what I bought. How many points?
Well, first off, is there a strap to keep the thing on your
no,
head?
No, there's just a strap
oh,
for your
a
hand.
Right
oh, well,
your arms get tired?
Yes.
It looks pretty heavy.
They do, yes, and it is. They say that that's intentional so that kids don't spend too much time in it.
Well, there's a rationalization.
Yeah.
Bad engineering means we care about your children.
Yeah, and speaking of bad engineering, kids aren't going to spend much time in this thing because it's not good. I had such high hopes for this. I'm like, oh, man,
I'm shocked.
The first device that's in a cello pack on Walmart shelves for Google Cardboard, you know, compatibility, it's got to be perfect. It's finally come here. This is the gateway to everything. It does hold a Note 4, which is nice. It's a little tricky to get it in and out of this spring clasp. It doesn't use a magnet and that sort of sensory thing. It does have like the classic button on the side that goes down, but that's actually attached to a physical button inside that presses out on something. So when you set up your Google Cardboard, do you tell it this is one of the items. Yes, I'm using this. So then it switches over to having this stylus nub come out and poke your phone right there.
Is that a QR code inside?
There's a QR code in there. Yep. That is to let Google Cardboard know what device you're trying to make Google Cardboard work with. You scan that. And I guess that must be a regular thing that's standardized in Google Cardboard is that code for different devices. Or different holders, I guess. The hinge is nice. It seems pretty good. But with a phone like a Note 4 in it, it's heavy after a while, fairly quickly. And my biggest downfall with this thing, I don't know, maybe the lenses are calibrated for children, but it's not clear. It's not even as clear.
See, that's the thing I've always wondered about because, you know, you're getting to that age where you get the middle-aged sight thing, right? You can't read your phone here anymore. You got to read it at arm's length. And so the screen is there, you know, right up front. So I've often wondered how can a middle-aged guy or girl see those devices unless the lenses are corrective in that way.
Google Cardboard worked fine for me. This doesn't.
Yeah, same.
This
here.
Doesn't. So I think I'm hoping that that's just because it's calibrated for kids since it's a kids thing. If not, if they see as blurry as I do, which my kids did say it was blurry and jittery. Yeah, it's going to flop. I thought this was going to be the Tickle Me Elmo of the year.
What was the cost on that?
It was $30.
Oh, way too much for a piece of glass and plastic. Well, now here's the thing. I'm hoping they at least give you some kind of like exclusive or some kind of Mattel app that does at least something cool.
What it comes with is, does this look familiar? You get the it looks like an old ViewMaster thing that you would... You know, you used to load into the top of the ViewMaster. Okay, so what this does is gives you access to the trial version of three Mattel-branded, kind of high-end Google Cardboard apps, but only the trial version to three of them. To buy the full version of each of those is $15 each.
Oh, my Lord, they are crazy.
And this is like its own kind of sort of QR code ViewMaster thing on here that lets it know that it's legit somehow. When you look at it, even though I'm not sure why that couldn't be copied, but
so it's essentially a fancy business card.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, I mean, there may be something else going on, but I don't think so. It's plastic. It's hard plastic.
See, for $30, my logic is they have to give you at least one complete, full featured app. Preferably $30, you would get like five.
Now, there's the trial versions of the three. It's space and like wilderness and animals or something. The trial versions have quite a bit of content. probably as much as any other cardboard app I've seen. But just to know that there's that much more, if I pay $15 a piece, it's kind of sour. I mean, there's a good, you know, probably 10 to 15 minutes of content there, you know, on each one.
Well, the good news is that at least there's no batteries to run down.
Right. Right, just your phone.
It's just a piece of physical plastic. There's no smarts to it.
Not really.
Yeah, for just a piece of plastic and free access to trial stuff, to me that's a $8 value, maybe 12.
Well, yeah.
They probably got 80 cents in it.
I could see 15, honestly. I think it's twice as much as it should be. I was really hoping it would have been worth $30, because that's a good price for a quality VR headset. This is not, though.
So, but what you're saying is your experience is actually it is less effective than a piece of cardboard.
It's less effective than Google Cardboard, the real Google Cardboard, yes.
Wow.
It doesn't smear like Google Cardboard. You don't get the grease marks. That's kind of nice. And these are very rubbery. You know, these are not plastic. They're up against your head, so that's kind of comfortable. You know, where it rests against your face. I don't know. Maybe if they had lenses, you could pop these ones out and put new ones in that could adjust for different eyes. I don't know.
Sounds like your crap app of the week to me.
Yeah, not that impressed. Maybe going on eBay, or maybe we'll have another giveaway for that.
Well, okay. Speaking of giveaway,
oh, am I supposed to do this or you?
Sure. Well, don't you want to talk about what it is?
Well, I talked about it before. So the phone. Right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So help me with the name, guys. John something.
John Dubinsky.
John Dubinsky sent Dore an Asus Zenfone 6, 2014 model, I believe. And I played with it, and I talked about it here on the phone on the show. It's a solid phone, good hardware. It's running the Atom processor, the Intel Atom processor. So that's unique about it. The problem is it does not upgrade to Lollipop, at least not with AT&T. It may work better with another company. I'm not sure if it's a dual band or not. But with my carrier, when you upgrade to Lollipop, the cellular card doesn't work anymore. So it's a 6-inch tablet at that point. So it's a fine device if you're willing to do KitKat and stay there for the rest of your life. But hey, if you're rocking, you know, like a phone from Cricket that gave you something like that, then this thing is miles ahead of what you have right now. And we are going to give it away by choosing something.
Yes. Well, the Lollipop you put on it was not the quote unquote official. It was a ROM.
Well, it was downloaded from their website, from the Asus website.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Well, that then is really stupid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to give it away. We're going to pick a name from the Android App Addict Club mailing list. Even if you asked to unsubscribe weeks ago, you're still going to be in this drawing because we care. Okay. We have a total of 570 different possibilities. And I have a random number generator thingy, Majab Bob, from random.org up, where I put the minimum is 1, maximum of 570. Mark, pick a number between 1 and 10, and that's how many times I'll hit the generate button.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 356. I like that number.
That's a great number.
That is. 356, Alan Kennedy.
That's a great person.
From the UK, which I will probably say you'll probably have better results with the phone because this is a UK-based phone first and foremost. So, Alan Kennedy, please send us an email at aaa@ponix.com. We'll cover all shipping charges and we will get this puppy out.
It was like it was meant to be.
Yes. Something like that. So, John bought it from somebody in Europe, I'm guessing, because you can't buy it directly.
From here, at least it looks like he's from or in Birmingham.
Solid phone. You'll like it. If nothing else, you know, just as a test phone, it's a great device, snappy, good performance. Congratulations to the name I've already forgotten.
Yes, me too.
Alan Kennedy.
That sounds
right.
It
was Kennedy.
And that's why Eric is the manager and not the slacker. Alan Kennedy, yes.
Yep.
Okay, and I will add this. Come back next week because there might be another giveaway.
Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Haven't made up my mind yet.
So while we're excited and anticipating the next week's giveaway, Eric, why don't you bring us an app? Because we've gone 2 weeks without an Eric.
Oh, okay, boy, I've got a tank too, man. I've been building up. All right, I'm gonna bring this. Dora's probably gonna hate me, but
too late.
Yeah, that's true. So. I've transformed my phone into what did I miss something?
I just saw what it was. Okay,
I've transformed my phone into this Microsoft version of Android that I'm using both the Aero launcher and the Next lock screen. So I'll put the details to that one in there too. I've been using both of these on my phone just to see what the point is, what they're trying to get mm-hmm. across. And I got to say, I do like the next lock screen way more than I like the Aero launcher. The Aero launcher is just okay. I'm more used to the way Android does things. The Aero launcher, like, for instance, you swipe right and left, and I've got everything turned on because it comes stock with only three things turned on. So all the way to the home screen, all the way to the left is just widgets. And that's where you can put widgets. And that's where you keep your widgets on one screen. Next is recent. So anything you've done recently is on the next screen, like a new photo you just took, the two people you called today, and an app that you just installed or installed recently. You got five items that you've recently done, no matter what they are. And then above that is your five most used apps. And then you've also got a dock, too, which is not very customizable at all. Except you can drag things in and out, but you can't make like extra pages of doc or anything like that. The next screen is apps.
You make folders within the doc?
Yes, you can. The next screen is apps. The most, 1, 2, 3, 4. The 20 most used apps on your phone.
Well, I don't know if I would say most used, but go ahead.
There's some reason for them. And I found me taking, you can take them out and hide them if you don't want that app on your 20. And it's not real easy to add a new one to it though. And then the next screen is people that you have emailed or called. It looks like mine's all email. Maybe it's just email, contacts that you've contacted recently or it thinks that you need to contact.
Well, see, you say email. I thought it was people that you call you frequently because my people is completely empty and it's been empty now for more than a day.
Okay, my people has four people in it. One of the people I emailed on September 4th, it's got you in it. And then when I emailed you on September 15th, then it's got one person that was an email on October 26th and another person I emailed on October 23rd. So I don't know exactly. I mean, I suppose there's settings there and there's a button at the top. But anyway, and then I'm not sure why. Then the next thing is notes and reminders. And it's just a quick, like GTD type app in that last home screen, I would say. You add an item and check it off when you're done and you can mark it completed.
Well, there is more screens you can add. Here's the only reason why I know that. And first off, Eric, why would you say I would hate you for bringing
that's Microsoft.
That's fair, valid for you to think that, but I'm still sticking with it's inevitable. Microsoft is going to release Android phones. There's no other reason to do lock screens and home screens and those type of apps. So it's inevitable. This show will be heavily focused around Microsoft. And it's just a fact. But I don't hate you for it. The reason I don't hate you is because I was going to bring this app anyway. Here's one of the things I don't like. Okay. If you hold down menu, you can, there's a way you can add more home screens, and you have to if you want a widget, because a widget can only exist on the one home screen that's dedicated to widgets.
Yeah.
So any of those other screens where there's free space, you can't put a widget, which is incredibly uncommonly
stupid. It's weird. It is weird. But once you get all of these home screens installed, like the widget one and that last one, you can slide through them seamlessly, so there's never, like, an end. They just keep going over and over again. So that's kind of nice. So you don't really know. You know, honestly, if I'm going to have widgets, I'm probably going to have one widget anyway, and it's going to be by itself, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a perfectly fine launcher for someone who does not crave ultimate power or control, right, almost like a Mac-type experience.
Exactly.
It is a kind of polished experience. It does try to assume that it knows better than you. And it's kind of, it tries too hard to be pretty. So if this is what an Apple home screen would look like on Android, the only things I really did like about it were really small and on that, and they're on plenty of other home screens. So there's really no reason to highlight them. I'll just say it's a fair home screen that does technically work. But to me, there was nothing.
There's not a lot of customization in it. One thing I do like, though, and this is weird with the Note 4, I was never able to access to get to my flashlight before, unless I had my S-View flip cover on. That was the only like shortcut I could ever find to my flashlight. This gives me access to it in multiple ways, so that I do like that. And then the lock screen, the next launch lock, next NEXT lock screen, is a good looking lock screen. It takes I think maybe photos from Bing or something, puts a neat background on it. All of your events are right up front, your to-do list for the day. It gives you a list of emails and text messages, things, you know, basically your notifications are right up front on your lock screen. Some people may not like that. Depends on, you know, what kind of stuff you got coming in. Maybe you don't want everybody who picks up your phone to see that. It has this thing that's on the go at home and at work. I suppose you would set that maybe with Bluetooth or NFC chips or something. I don't have, or even GPS. I don't have those set. I'm always set on the go. So that's a customization that you can do. But it's a polished thing. When you've got all your notifications and you're in your regular lock screen, you do a swipe up, and that gives you access, and you can fully customize all of the apps that you want quick access to with a flip up. And then you can set it for single tap or double tap. I've got it on double tap, so I don't accidentally, you know, tap the phone dialer when it's in my pocket. I have to double tap all of those apps to open them. But it makes it nice and easy to open them when you're in the car trying to get some music playing or whatever without having to do a whole lot. And then I did also, while I'm talking about them, I also installed Microsoft's new note-taking app. I think it starts with a P. I may have uninstalled it already. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it looked horrible. It looked like Windows XP Lego blocks.
Parchy.
The only
Parchi. Right.
Yeah. The only reason I would never use a Microsoft lock screen is, for one, I don't lock my device. But if I did, I sure in the hell wouldn't trust security to anything made by Microsoft. Just saying. Their track record isn't, I wouldn't say, to be sarcastic, I would typically say, well, it isn't stellar. I'd just say it's not very good at all.
And interestingly enough, I'm interested in these things, by installing either of these things, you agree to the standard binding Microsoft user license agreement. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. Just thought I'd point that out there. So when you click the thing that says, by installing this app, you agree to the terms of use, what you go to is the same terms of use that you would get if you were installing Windows on your device.
One thing I was really looking for in these was the reason, you know, you may have the Google Now launcher and, you know, you could say, okay, Google, and do all kinds of things with your phone without touching it. I was hoping that they would have had Cortana built into this so that I could see what that's about, because I've never really had any experience with Cortana yet. None of that seems to be built into this, so maybe that's coming. But for it to be on par with the Google Now launcher, unless you really want, like Dor said, a polished Apple, like unimaginative, lockdown kind of experience, then you could just go with this one rather than Google Now. I would personally like Google Now more, though. This is just enough, just oddly enough looking that it may get attention if you're into that. I know you're not, Mark. You don't want something flashy on your phone because it's a tool, but this may slow you down as a tool.
I think he just called you a tool.
But I did not call him a tool. His phone I called a tool.
Okay. And I'll just say there's no doubt in my mind if there ever comes a day where you can say, okay, Bing, you better keep that phone away from you because something bad is going to happen. It's either going to catch fire, it's going to short out, it's going to do something.
No, it's howdy, Cortana. I think that's what the new wake up calls for these ones when they get that part finished.
All right, so we got a couple of apps there from Eric, and I'm going to withhold my comment. I can't comment on the app, so any comment I made would just be about Microsoft, and this is an Android show. So, Dor, what's your app for us tonight?
Okay, the first app I'm going to bring is one of last week I brought a repeat app. Basically for the sake of being a repeat app because there was a new feature involved in it. Well, I'm doing that again this week. Instead, this time it is Google Play Games. Okay, YouTube gaming on Android enabled close to single-click streaming capabilities to where you could even show your selfie camera in the bottom corner kind of thing. They're trying to make uploading of gaming content ubiquitous and just easy as anything across the board. Now, even in Google Play Games, they enabled the feature to like start streaming in the middle of the game. Their logic is you start streaming something when you know something cool is going to happen or when you're going to try something epic and insane. And I can't believe I just used the word epic. Oh. Because every Android gaming video says epic battles or epic sceneries or epic characters. Everything seems to be epic, and every time I see it, I throw up in my mouth. I'm tired.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Exactly. They have no idea what it means. But they're trying to enable people to just seamlessly, frictionless fashion upload video of gaming to YouTube. Like YouTube doesn't own enough of the video market. So if you do use Google Play Games to keep track of your games or sync games or, you know, keep your score so you can compete against friends, you can now also record and upload video to YouTube directly from it.
Now, I tried this, and I couldn't find any way to do it yet. It must be coming still?
I believe it's either on Marshmallow right now, or it's one of those things that are getting slowly rolled out to Lollipop and Up because I do not believe I had it either.
Okay. Yeah, when I saw this, I was psyched. I'm like, well, shoot, man, I'm always playing these games. I might as well throw a quick something up on YouTube every time now. You know, I could find, Dini Media could have a whole new, that'd be a 180-degree spin from what DiniMedia.com is currently. But, I could give a launch pad for all my great gaming videos and fail blog videos of me trying to game.
Well, I think people enjoy watching people doing successful, quote unquote, epic things, but they also do like seeing catastrophic failures.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody likes to watch a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 That's the other thing. While we were sitting on the side of the road from the 4-car accident, okay, in the 40-ish minutes from the accident to the time everything was done with the cop and documentation, everything, there were 3 other accidents right there. All of them, I'm pretty sure, were because people rubbernecked.
Oh, yeah.
People are stupid.
Nothing makes me more upset than rubbernecking.
One of Cockrell's rules of life is that all people are stupid. Sometimes it's my turn to be stupid. Sometimes it's your turn to be stupid. We're all stupid. So you can't get too mad at somebody when it's their turn because it's going to be your turn before long.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
I did something foolish today and I commented, I said, well, that was stupid. And my daughter said, hey, don't put yourself down. I said, no, it's just my turn. Just my turn. So let me read an email because it is my turn. And this is from Andrew Black. Come on, Andrew. That sounds like a fake name. That sounds like a name that a cheap spy novel would use. He said, I've been listening to AAA for years, but stopped when I made the switch to iOS. I searched around for a quality iOS app podcast on par with AAA. After finally giving up the search, I decided to start listening to AAA again. Many of the apps you cover are cross-platform, and I've been thinking of creating a spreadsheet with all the ones that are cross-platform. I don't think I'll do the entire list, but I may just start with the apps since show 400. Maybe I'll call it AAAA, Android App Addicts for Apple Users. I was kind of shocked and thought I had the wrong podcast when I heard Mark talking. I've been a longtime listener of Everyday Linux and happy to hear him. Keep up the good work. Battery 78%.
Yeah. See, everybody's welcome, you know?
They are. And I will say this content is issued non-formally as Creative Commons share-alike, no business thingy, commercial use. Ever. So if literally, if anybody wants to take our apps list and just add another A to it and say, here's the apps that from this show that are Apple available, which would be AAAAA, Android App Addicts Apple Available. Go ahead. Feel free. Good. More power to you. I'll help you out.
And I'd suspect it's probably in the high 80s percentage-wise.
Yeah, I had a good longtime friend of mine called me up earlier this week and said, Steve, I don't answer the phone. Okay. But he first messaged me and said, hey, I'm going to call you. I need to talk to you. Okay, fine. He called me up saying, dude, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to buy an iPhone. I need you to talk me down from it. I didn't. In fact, in the end of the conversation, I encouraged him to buy one. But some of the misconceptions he had, I had to make sure he knew they were complete misconceptions. Like how there's so much security issues on Android and iOS is so much safer. No. Okay. First off, nothing is safe. Number one. Number two, there's not a single reported case that I've ever heard confirmation of from anybody about a actual malware infection in the continental United States of America. Number one. Number two, every app store is going to have issues because you allow somebody else to publish to it. Okay. His other misconceptions were on things that he saw, because the last couple phones he had were Samsung devices. And 90% of the things he told me he hated about his Android stuff was not Android stuff. It was Samsung stuff. But in the end, I told him, look, if you're thinking about getting one, just get one. He said, well, why? I said, so in a year, when you're ready for a new device, whatever decision you make, you'll be even more confident that it's the right choice. I said, having different devices during your lifetime can only make you a more educated consumer, and it can enlighten you to the possibilities on each platform. And that's great, but I'm never going to buy one. But you can, and you can tell me what you think. But I'm not buying one. He said, well, I can't believe you didn't tell me to not buy one. No, if you're thinking about buying one, buy one.
You know, I think a lot of the early digs about Android were more associated with, like you said, with the vendor crapware that came with it. And it was because Android was needing something, right? Android wasn't solid, so Samsung had to do their TouchWiz, and HTC had to do their Sense, and they just didn't do it well. And I think another thing is, one of the things where Apple excels is that they tightly control the hardware and match it with the software. So a lot of people will buy a cheap Android phone or tablet, mm-hmm. and then compare the crappy hardware experience and say, all Android devices suck. And then they lump them all in because they spent $79 on a Walmart tablet. And once you buy a high quality flagship phone, you realize that a lot of the things that you thought were wrong with Android aren't wrong with Android.
Well put. And I've got an Apple, you know, like iPods around the house, you know, and they do, you know, the scrolling's really ultra smooth. You compare that to like a cheap Android phone, that it would not be smooth. But yeah, I couldn't do it. I like to customize my stuff too much.
Right. Yeah. If you bought an Android phone from the Verizon store and never did anything but put apps on it, you're a fine candidate for an iPhone. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly. And he was the other thing he was complaining about was the fact that if you really want to stay on the latest and greatest, you have to root and flash. There is some truth to that. But I first said, well, why must you be on the latest and greatest? Number one, can you tell me a single new feature in either of them, iOS or Android, that made you say, I want that OS? Of course, I couldn't think of one. He was also mad that when OTA updates kind of came down after a while, the phone seemed to have a little hiccup in it or something going on with it. iOS suffers from that issue as well, except it takes longer for those symptoms to develop. It literally takes most of the time more than 2 years for them to expose themselves on iOS, where in Android, it can literally be 8 months into your device. I firmly believe Android is like Windows 95, 98 XP. And what I mean by that is nobody ever trusted an in-place upgrade on those operating systems. everyone insisted you do a fresh install. And then on a fresh install, you can do that upgrade, but you don't do a upgrade on a something that has miles on it. Every time I get an Android OTA update, even if it's just a security update, I reset the device and start over. Always.
And I've made this point recently. A lot of the reasons that you used to have to root, you don't have to anymore in Marshmallow and previously in Lollipop. So I think that's still true to some degree. But I think by Nana Puddin, I think that won't be the case anymore.
N? You mean the next version?
Yeah.
Nah. I would generously say the R's. Because I think they're going to start to focus back more on more group people's needs and enterprise people's needs and communities people's needs. And we're going to not be tremendously encouraged by the next version or two of it.
Yeah, but think about what you actually need to root for anymore. You need it for fine grain security and permission control. Marshmallow is already bringing that. The next one could close that loop if they chose to. For backing up, Marshmallow already addresses backing up, and that's really about it. Other than the serious propeller head stuff.
Well, getting rid of the pop ups at the top of the screen, things like that. Stuff that's just annoying in some versions, to people.
Yeah, and I have not used an ad blocker on anything I own for probably close to a decade. I'm really close to doing true blockers on my device. And the only way to do true ad blocking is to have root, unless it's Google supported.
What kind of ads are you, mean like an ad? What type of ad? Like when you're playing a game and an ad pops up in between levels?
No. I'm on a web page and I click to go to a web page and the web page loads and then it immediately the whole top of the web page slides down and it auto plays a video that I can't seem to stop.
Yeah, that just means I never will read what they ever had for content. I'm done. I just leave it.
Exactly. The way I look at that is that's not an app problem. That's not something that you need to root to fix. You have a content problem and you don't go to that content provider anymore.
It's going
to
get worse. Everyone's going to start doing this kind of thing. They ads never relent and go back. They never have. This is like the United States government giving up power. It just doesn't happen. They ads never get better. They only get worse. That's a constant of life that I feel very confident in saying is a truth. And there's no denying. And there's no getting around it unless you root. The other reason I'll say I root, and this was a comment I made to Mary T from SMLR today. She sent me a link and said there's the top 10 Android security applications. Which one of these do you think is good, Dor? Mm-hmm. To which I said, none of them, because none of them require root. The only way, and I said, here's the analogy. You're on Windows. If you're running an AV or you're running anti-malware, it has to run as administrator. Why do you think it has to run as administrator? So it can have more power or equal power to something that got on your device. The only way you can truly protect your device as an administrator of a device and not just a user of a device is to have root. To not have root is to trust the gatekeeper. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people do not want to trust someone else to their security.
Yeah. Just to drop in on what you said there, SMLR, Sunday Morning Linux Review. Great podcast. If you're a serious Linux geek, smlr.us. Check them out.
Yeah, good stuff, good people. And I know that I'm in the niche when I say that, Mark. And I know that, and I'm okay with that. I will say it's becoming ridiculous for normal people to root. For a normal person to root, their friends will turn to them and say, why? Why would you on earth do that? Except to tether without, restraint.
Which Android is progressively making it much more difficult to root. It's clear that they, as an entity, don't want people. They're taking that Apple line. Rooters are ruining our product. With each progressive successive release, it's gotten harder to root, and it's taking longer for the developers to do it. But that doesn't mean that the power users, the people who need to root, will always find a way to root. My point is that the pool of people who need to root is shrinking and will continue to shrink.
Yeah, and I do think that's their plan. That's their goal. They don't want people to have to feel necessary to do that. And yeah, I honestly believe it was eclair or gingerbread day, where I said, you know, we right now might be in the golden era of controlling your device because it was so easy to root it, and there was so many apps to help you do it, and there were so many apps to let you take control once you had root, where that also seems to be slimming down, and it's partially because, like you said, some of that functionality is going back into the OS itself.
All right. So I think I lost our place there, but I think, Dor, we're up to you now. Throw an app at us, my friend.
Sure. I'll go for that. Okay. The next app I'm going to bring. Oh, I'm going to bring this one just because I want to see if you guys chuckle like a 13-year-old boy.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, just put the link in the chat. And let's give it a second. And should be loading for them right about now. Okay. This, I have no idea why they call it this. It makes absolutely zero sense, okay? This is a free game with a paid version by Lab-like, marked E for everyone, free, no in-app purchases for the free version. It's called Magic Flute Puzzle Lite. Okay.
The second slide tells you why. Featuring Mozart's music in the story of the Magic Flute Opera.
Okay, if they say so, but I never listened to the audio in any game, so the name is pointless to me.
In fact, I will uninstall an app that won't let me mute the audio.
Exactly, because I subscribe to podcasts for a reason, and now Google Play lets you copy, but we'll get that later. This is kind of like the old school $1 slider puzzle games where you had like the 4x4 grid or the 5x5 grid with one square missing, and you had to keep sliding the squares around until you solved what the ending image or picture was supposed to be. It uses that type of mechanics, but it's a puzzler game. Monument Valley view of the screen is what I'm going to say, where there's certain types of platforms you can move, certain types of platforms you can't move, certain types of platforms your character can stand on, and then, of course, types of platforms your character can't stand on. You start every stage. Your goal is to get your character to the exit door, and you have to figure out how to get him there by moving him and moving the platforms. But when he's on a platform, you cannot move that platform. Pretty good-looking game. Easy game to just pick up and start playing kind of thing. No real preparation is needed. No real deep concentration is needed. It can be one of those playing in the line at the store kind of game, but I'm sure if you advance enough, it is the kind of game where you're going to get a little bit frustrated and have to restart levels more than once.
Yeah, it looks challenging. How far did you get into that? Did you get very far into it yet?
I only went like two or three stages in, and then I just stopped playing because I don't want to sound ridiculous to say, well, this game gave me no challenge. To me, the challenge was it didn't tickle my fancy, if you will.
Okay.
It's very visually appealing.
Quite. But, it just, slides stuff around and your guy walks. Slides stuff around and your guy walks. Slides stuff around and your guy walks. Slides stuff around and your guy. That was
it. It's such an industrial, like the background and stuff is so industrial in these screenshots. And then you didn't happen to get to a cutscene, did you? I'm just trying to figure
out. I do not believe. I installed this almost a week ago. I don't remember seeing any
cutscenes. It says it has beautiful cutscenes. And it looks like people dancing on broken asphalt streets or something.
Or hovering? I got flying out of that more than dancing.
Oh, yeah, that could be too. I just wondered what that may be about. Looks like one guy has a stick of dynamite in his hand. The other guy's got random things floating around his head. And then there's a queen and some other people floating behind. I don't know.
It looks like one that you need to toke up on first.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Monsters and Men videos or something.
Wow, that's a way to lose most of the audience, Eric.
Most of them will know.
Redeem yourself, Eric, with an app, quick.
An app? I'm going to even bring a game. I'll bring Jet Ball. Ooh, where's my...
Oh, while you're looking for that, I forgot. I can't believe that I forgot to mention this. I buried the lead. The Zcast app that I would talk to you about a while back, the single most requested feature has been implemented. That is variable speed playback from 0.5x to 3x.
Oh.
So go over to elementop.com, check it out. It's in the posts for every podcast that I've done in the last several months. If in case you don't remember, it's a combination forum and podcast player all in one. So as you're playing and you feel the need to make a comment, you make the comment right in line with the app, and that's time coded so that the next person who's listening to the show will see your same comment at that same point. It's sort of a dream app of mine that a developer has taken on to start working on. It's early beta, so it's not available in the store. You have to sideload it, but I've been using it. It's solid. It's not crashy. But now variable speed playback is a real thing. Nice.
I need something different anyway, because Podcast Addict, been a long time user, and I just happened to reinstall it on my device for some reason. And I went back, and so I was going to put my apps back in because I didn't have them saved or anything. So I type in Android. Dude, I don't want to be conceited or anything, but this show's been around for a long time. And if you type in Android, it's not in the first list of when you do a search for Android apps or podcasts. If you type in Android App Addict still doesn't show up until the second screen. And there's a bunch of things. There's a bunch of old podcasts that died off in 2012 that come up on the first screen. I just can't handle that kind of a search function.
What player was that again?
Here? Podcast Sorry. Addict. Yeah, oh. I never knew. I mean, I've been pimping Podcast Addict for a long time. I didn't realize their search was so horrible. And I don't want to, maybe we don't deserve to be in the first page. I kind of think we do. But to type in the word Android app and not be in the first page of that for podcasts, that's kind of a, I don't know.
So Zcast isn't going to fix that problem yet. Right now, it only has 3 feeds in it because we're trying to keep the developer base really small so that we can play with it. So,
does the widget work on that right now? Do you know?
There's not a widget at the moment. Oh. Well, yeah, there is. There's a lock screen, a play thing.
Yeah, okay. Because I tried that, and I don't know if it worked or something the other day. But I will, I'll go back to Zcast because I know that works.
Right. And I'll say for people who had the old app install, be sure you clear the storage clear data on it. I had to, and because I wasn't seeing all the episodes of all the feeds that I subscribed to in there, but I am now, so be sure to do that. And I'm saying now there's no reason. I will not use any other podcast player to listen to any other show that is available in it, period. Done. And I don't know how I feel about this, but did you guys hear now Google Play Music is letting podcast creators add their feeds to the library?
No, so, I looked for some feeds and I looked for some podcasts. I couldn't find them in there.
No,
there aren't any yet.
No,
it isn't available for listeners yet to listen. It's only available for creators to submit.
Have you submitted yours then, Dor?
You can't check. So yes, okay. I did.
I would imagine you did.
No, I did.
Meaning he's doing it right now.
Right after the show, we'll get that done.
Yeah. Yeah, but now tell us about this
Jetball.
Jetball. Breakout. Remember the game Breakout?
Super cool.
Yeah. So I've been
Arachnoid?
Arachnoid, maybe.
Well, Arkanoid. Yeah, that was an arcade game.
Wasn't that what it was first,
yeah. I thought? I've been on this retro kick of this type of game, and this one's really cool.
Wow. That's very beautiful. Fun.
A lot of strange things that drop out at you that you have to catch and stuff. Fun game.
Yeah. This is the only similarity to those games, and this is you're at the bottom and there's balls bouncing. Nothing else is the same. This is trying to do everything above that completely.
And you're moving back and forth to bounce the ball back up at the stuff.
Yeah.
That's where I think of Breakout. So can I throw another one real quick? This was a genre for me recently. So I've got that one. And if you like that one, you may not like this one nearly as much, but this one's really cool too. This one is called Incrediblock Brick Breaker. And it's the same, pretty much the same game, just a different take. Also incredibly beautiful. Not as crazy wild as that last one, though.
Just a quick trivia. Nolan Bushnell of Atari came up with this idea, and Steve Wozniak, prior to Apple being a company, wrote the prototype for Breakout.
That's crazy. Yeah, I did see this. I did see pictures of this. I did not download this, Eric. So here's my question. If you had to compare the two, which one would you prefer to play and why?
They both play equally as well as each other. I think I would go with Jetball just because I like the graphics better. I'm more of a, I like the flashy stuff.
Oh, I'm installing it right now. I'll be playing it for the rest of the show. So you guys go on without me.
Yeah. I will say Incredi-Block, I don't think they did the name well because it's not very easy to find. If you tell somebody, hey, I'm playing Incredi-Block. Like, oh, playing what? Where if you say, I'm playing Jetball. Oh, Jetball. I can look for Jetball.
Yeah. Okay. I do have one more if you want me to empty my tank.
Bring it up.
I have another game. This game, I used to play on the Xbox 360 a long time ago, and now it's on Android. And it was actually in the Google Play Store for, like, I'm thinking 12, 15 cents maybe recently. And it's called Dead Space, and it's by Electronic Arts. A lot of people used to really get into this game 5 years ago on the Xbox 360 probably. And here's the, I from what I can tell, is the full game just on an Android. And it's very well done. I mean, I haven't played that. This is the kind of game where you have to do a lot of stuff. So far I've only really busted up some electro things or something.
I was going to say, Eric, don't get too specific. I think stuff is enough for the people to take in. I had no idea this was on Xbox anything. And because I did see this late last night, and I thought, this looks really almost too good for your, you know, typical Android kind of game. This definitely is above average.
Yeah, you're on a UFO ship, like some kind of a spaceship, and you board it, and you have to go find things throughout that ship and not get killed by the aliens.
Here's the other good news: we get EA trademark violations every time we show an EA clip.
Really?
But because we do this for the people and we don't monetize, they can't do anything about it. So take that, EA. Yeah, I'll say this is the kind of game I wish I could let my kids play, but this is definitely not kids friendly. And this is, what is it, $6?
Lots of giblets in that one.
Is it $6 now?
Yeah. $6.99.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I paid 10 cents for it or something recently. Oh. I think it was on our free app of the day, or one of our listeners, maybe Joe Licata, possibly pointed it out in the club on Google Plus.
Yeah, this says mature 17 plus, so you know.
And then in the chat room, Aaron said that this was also on PlayStation 3 back in the day.
Right, and I will apologize to anyone watching this video now or after the fact. I did not realize the video audio has not been muted the entire show. So every time I played a video, the audio was running at the same time.
Oh, okay. Oops.
I know. My bad.
But it was usually only when Eric was talking, so it's not a great
one. Yeah, probably better that way anyway. Well, Dora got his today. Everybody's stupid sometimes.
Everybody's got a turn. So let me read an email from Paul Edgett that is an email and a couple of apps. It says, hello, Dor, Eric, and Mark. I have two apps today. The first is a companion app for users of Canon DSLR cameras. It's called DSLR Controller Beta. Super creative name there, by the way. One of my duties at work is to get our YouTube channel going, and this app has been great, help. It allows me to view what's being recorded and change any camera settings within the camera when it's in manual mode. I'm doing top-down videos of products from work, and I find it incredibly useful to have a screen from my Nexus 7 tablet or my phone to look at when recording. I want to make sure I keep the products in view since I can't see the viewfinder on the camera. I have also seen mounts for phones and tablets that attach to the top of the camera so that you can use it as a larger viewfinder while in the field. It's worked great for me so far, and it works with an on-the-go cable and the USB cable that comes with the camera.
Nice.
Let's comment on that one before I move on.
Interesting idea, but you already have to be invested in the Canon ecosystem. So.
Yeah, but if you are, there you go.
Yeah, if you are, you're in heaven.
There's a lot of people who have those Canon cameras, and I think I emailed back to him like that. That's such a great use of a tablet, and I watched a couple of his videos too, and they're really nicely done on a nice black background and stuff. It's cool.
So the next part of his email gets even more esoteric than DSLR owners. The next app is My Cigar Humidor. This app has helped me keep track of my personal inventory, along with pics, ratings, and notes of each type or different type of cigar that I have. I opted to buy the paid license key to have an unlimited cigars, but it's free to try 5 Cigar Max on the free version. Thanks, guys. Paul, battery 43% and dying on my aging HTC One M7. P.S. My channel is youtube.com/c/DLT trading, and I would like to hear any feedback you guys have about getting to get better at making videos. You don't have to read this portion on the air unless you want to throw it in. Well, clearly I did want to throw it in.
Yes. And first tip, make sure if you're showing video in your video, it's not playing audio at the same time.
Pro tip.
Yeah.
And you don't need the /c. Just youtube.com/DLT trading is all you need.
All right.
I thought his videos looked good.
Yeah.
Better than a video I would produce. Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to get much tips. The humidor thing is interesting. I don't know if I've, I may have smoked a cigar once. I don't know.
I try to Swisher Sweets, which I'm pretty sure doesn't
have
a cigar.
Yeah. That's probably what I did too. How about you, Dor?
That's the one, and I was like 15.
Yeah, I smoked good cigars, but I smoked them like they were cigarettes, and people who smoked cigars said, "What are you doing?" But yeah, they were tasty. But at the same time, when you do something and you can taste it 12 hours later, you know, maybe you don't want to do that.
I'm afraid that if I was to try a cigar now, it would get me back into smoking, and that's someplace I don't want to go. So I'm kind of afraid to even go there.
I have fairly severe asthma, so being around somebody who smokes makes it difficult for me to breathe. Actually doing it myself would be pretty much committing suicide. So
I had a friend in high school who had asthma, and he took up smoking, and he's never had an issue since.
So smoking cures asthma.
It did for him.
I'll look that up on Snopes.com.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more, guys. Dor, starting with you.
Okay, well, Eric brought I almost said NC-17. That's not right. Eric brought a mature 17.
You app. Muted yourself, Dor.
I keep hitting buttons. Should be better now.
Yes.
Okay. Eric brought himself a mature 17 app. I'm going to bring one too, except mine's free, but it does have in-app purchases. This is called Dead Effect 2. Basically similar to the non-educated fan. This is a similar looking type game because it's a first person shooter where you run around and kill things, basically. But this, to me, also again looks really good, really sharp, really high end. I wouldn't expect this gameplay to be as deep as Eric's game, but for free with in-app purchases, this might keep you occupied long enough to where you have fun if you like watching blood and zombie-like creatures.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that was the correct link. I'm going to try to find it real quick. Oh. Dead Effect. I found Dead Effect. I haven't got 2 yet, though. Type in the 2.
The link works for me. Dead Effect 2 by Badfly Interactive AS.
Pretty impressive looking graphics. I wonder what kind of device it takes to run that.
Well, I did not try this on the GPD2. I've been this past week. Besides the wife and the car and the kid, it has been absurdly busy for me. So I have not really had any time to try anything on the GPD2 except for letting my children play it when they're well behaved and then charging it for them.
Lots of giblets in that one, too.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, your last app of the night.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mark. I already emptied my tank.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if he's done, then I'm just going to throw 2 out there really quick. And they're really quick because you should know exactly what to expect by both these games. Okay, first one is called Lego DC Superheroes. And the second one is called Lego Speed Champions. Lego DC Superheroes is exactly what you think it is. You load it up, your DC superheroes. You go around, you punch and fight bad guys, and you have superpowers. You traverse cities and you do stuff with your superhero. Easy, simple, fun. This is one of the games I am going to try to install on the GPD, see how it runs. And the Lego Speed Championship does seem like a slightly bit easier racer style game, because my youngest one loves watching racing games, but let's just say his fine motor skills and his reflexes just aren't fantastic. So hopefully this game is a little bit, you know, I don't want to say easier, but less
difficult. Should be a great game. It has no video. That's usually a good sign.
Yeah.
It's got lots of 4-star ratings, 5-star ratings.
Well, without sounding ridiculous, it's Lego, okay?
Right.
Lego rarely puts out junk apps. And by rarely, they really don't. They just put out apps. They put out a lot of Duplo apps. I'll put it that way. Yeah, you got a 4-year-old in your house, man, Lego Duplo apps, keep them busy.
They put out a lot of things that are just okay. Nothing stellar, well, nothing.
It seems like a lot of the games are the same game with a different character set. But I like to see the racing game because I don't remember seeing a Lego racing game before. And I'm always up for a new racing game.
Yeah, I will say the more popular the product in it, the less hope I have it for it being fantastic. You know what I mean? Like right now, if they do a Thor or Iron Man game, I wouldn't expect it to be very good because it doesn't have to be, because kids will say Thor, You know, but if it's just Lego Speed Champions with no name, anything in it, well, that could be really good.
It'd be kind of cool. I'm intrigued also to see if I can just build whatever kind of car I want.
I didn't see building options per se, but I did see some customization options, but it really didn't look like a lot.
Very cool. I'll check it out. I'm going to install it.
All right. So I think that covers it. We got a couple of apps. We got some emails. We got Eric back. The manager has returned.
Yay.
It's the circle is now complete. Very quickly, I got to say, you guys bought your Star Wars tickets yet?
No.
I'm not going to buy my Star Wars tickets because when the wife asked me like a month ago, what do you want for Christmas? I want to see Star Wars. She said, no, really, what do you want? I want to see Star Wars.
And have you?
That's it.
Have you hinted to her that it's going to take a pre-order for Christmas to see Star Wars?
I believe it was first supposed to be released Christmas Day, and now they pushed it back to December 18th, I believe.
The week before, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I basically said to her, I said, look, if you didn't buy the tickets already, don't worry about it, because I don't know if I want to be there the first day kind of thing. It seems, because here's the whole thing, okay, I don't want to go there seeing a bunch of all dressed up, thinking they're awesome because they can make sound effects accurately. I also don't want to hear somebody arguing about the reason why Jar Jar Binks can't be the bad guy in this one because it was clearly stated. I don't want to be around those kind of people. I want to watch the movie to have a good time, not to create, endless hours of arguing over fine grained details.
Are you caring if it's a regular theater or IMAX?
No.
Okay.
I want to watch the movie up on the screen. I don't care if it wraps around. I don't care if it's 3D. To me, that is all pointless, nonsensical junk to distract you from if the movie isn't good.
Okay.
Since you said 3D, I got to tell you guys a little story real quick. I went to a 3D haunted house the other day, it's a couple weeks ago now, but since the last time I talked to you. I've been to 3 haunted houses since I talked to you last. So I'm like reliving my childhood. I used to work in one a long time ago.
If you go anywhere in the world, is that not 3D?
That's what I thought. I'm like, why would they even put that on their sign? Everything's 3D. But when you walked in, you got 3D glasses, and somehow they had this paint that reacted with the 3D glasses. And when you looked at these monsters, their veins were painted with a certain paint. They were sticking out of their head, and they moved their head, and their veins would stay here a little bit. It was kind of weird. It was pretty neat.
I'm sorry, Eric. I heard nothing you said, because the only thing that went through my head, and the viewer, if you don't know what this is, just go to YouTube and Google search blue blocker commercial. Because all I kept picturing was saying, everything looks like it's in high definition.
Everything's so much crisper and clearer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go to something that says 3D anything, much less high definition.
No line to get into that one, which was awesome. The other one was a 2.5-hour wait, and I'd go to the 3D one with no line 5 times because that's about what it cost to get into the other one. It had the line, so I thought I've never seen 3D paint before. That's a cool thing. And Saturday during Halloween, I'm going to dress up if my kids don't steal them all from me, I've got electroluminescent light threads I'm going to be wearing myself for Halloween. Mm-hmm. All right. Just had to throw that out there.
All right. Well, happy Halloween, and we'll see you next week, because I'm going to say that that ends this one. Dor, any plugs you want to make before we say goodnight?
I like pugs. Oh, plugs.
Plugs.
Yeah, plugs. Please, people, do not forget, you can go to podnos.com, and if there's something there you've always wanted and it's not there, or there's something that you expected to be there and it ain't there, let me know. I swear I am working on stuff.
All right. How about you, Mr. Manager?
I'm going to defer my 5 minutes to the gentleman from Maryland.
I yield back the remainder of my time?
No, this ain't 5 minutes. I just wanted to say thank you to Captain Zero. He upped his pledge $2 extra, he said, because we were at $48 a month, and he said that's just not right. You guys, he said, should be making a lot more money. So he upped his pledge, so now we're going to be making $50 a month off of Patreon. Nice. I will say, if you like the idea of giveaways, if you like the idea of higher quality content with more content, the only way to make the message clear is by voting with the pound, the lira, the peso, the ruble, or the American dollar. And I guess we could take Canadian money, too.
Shillings, too.
Shillings. Seashells. Oh, wait.
Bitcoin. Something.
Rocks.
Right. Yeah. Pounds of salt.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you being with us. Dor, Eric, thanks for letting me be with you. And I'm going to say that covers it. We're done for this week. See you next week on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.